On the New York Times op-ed page, February 21st, David Brooks lamented the fact that the U.S. as a country is, quote, decelerating, detaching, losing hope, getting sadder. Economic slowdown, social disaffection, and risk aversion reinforce one another. In short, as his headline proclaims, at least for the U.S. so far, this century is broken. Brooks makes this out to be a failing of U.S. character. He complains that we don't innovate, we are less adventurous as a people. But he's got the causation backwards. We have to begin with his assertion of a slowdown in U.S. economic growth. Now, with the exception of the Great Depression of the 1930s, the 20th century up till 1980 had been a great success. Just think of the transformations in the country for those eight decades. Life expectancy jumped from 47 years to almost 74 years. 6% of 17-year-olds were high school graduates in 1899. That percentage jumped to close to 72% in 1980. GDP per capita, deflated by 1990 prices, went from $4,091, remember that's per person, in 1900, to $18,577 in 1980. What Brooks is referring to applies to the U.S. since 1980 and can be summarized in one word, stagnation. There is a well-developed economic analysis that emerged at the end of the 1930s. When the recovery from the Great Depression stalled, there was actually a major increase in unemployment in 1937. This is called the stagnation thesis. This analysis has never been popular with mainstream economists, and the rapid growth after World War II made it pretty easy to dismiss, until 2013, that is. In that year, Lawrence Summers, former Secretary of the Treasury, proposed that the reason the recovery from the 2008 Great Recession was so slow was because the U.S. had entered a period of secular stagnation. Summers reinvented the wheel developed over 70 years before. I agree in large part with the major thrust of the stagnation thesis. I believe that for much of the 20th century, the domination of most industries by a handful of giants has led to a lessening of the dynamic growth spurts that characterized the earlier centuries of capitalism in Britain and the United States. For the 20th century, it has taken wars and the preparation for wars to push economies like ours to sustain high rates of growth. Sometimes extended periods of growth occurred because of a great new industry, such as the automobile industry, which stimulated dramatic increases in investments elsewhere in the economy. Since 1980, however, economic growth has slowed down. The improvement in the standard of living for most Americans has stopped. It is not the American character that has failed us. It is the American economy. Donald Trump promises to solve that problem with massive reindustrialization and removal of job-killing regulations so that coal mining, oil drilling, and manufacturing will reemploy huge numbers. That's nonsense. However, we could have a massive transformation as dramatic as the one that occurred when the automobile and truck replaced the railroad as our major method of ground transportation. That would involve investing in new systems for generating energy. Instead of fossil fuels, we could be reconfiguring our entire system towards renewables. The technology exists, but the entrenched power of vested interests in the fossil fuel industries has so far thwarted the people's will. An alternative dramatic change is replacing the internal combustion engine transportation system with high-speed rail and electric cars. The problem for our politics is that those kinds of changes involve the active involvement of government. Something Americans have been taught is terrible because that would lead us to becoming a country like Stalin's Russia. So instead, we have David Brooks blaming our difficulties on the decline of the American character. In fact, there is abundant evidence that it's our politicians who lack character.